We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected. Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's Deira Volga here in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. My name is James and I'm the minister here. You're very welcome. If this is your first time to join us, please feel at home here this morning as we come to worship. In our Anglican tradition in this season of Easter, we continue to declare that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That cry is not just for Easter Sunday. It's for every day of our lives, because we believe in a God who is alive and who is well and who is at work in his world today. So welcome. Let me pray as we begin today. Father God, we want to thank you for who you are and for all that you have done for us. Lord, we thank you that you're the God who is alive and who is well and who is present with us. Even though we are scattered across this parish this morning, we gather with one voice and one heart to worship you. Be present amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a little verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and he will direct your paths." That's our prayer for today, that we lean into the Lord, into his understanding, and that he would direct our paths. I want to hear a few very quick announcements now.
Hello. As you know, Sunday Club has not been able to meet for a few weeks now. Not in person anyway. We now have an online Sunday Club. We are using Google Classroom to do this, as I hear quite a few of the kids are familiar with Google Classroom because they've been using it for their schoolwork. We upload materials such as Bible stories in video format, craft ideas, prayer activities. We'll have colour-in sheets and word searches. And those materials are usually uploaded on a Sunday morning. During the week, we also have videos by Noreen, which sets challenges for the kids. And we really love to see the kids upload the work that they have done and their responses onto Google Classroom. It's great, and keep up the good work. And if you would like to access any of these resources in Google Classroom, then please do get in touch.
So we've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word and to pray for the needs of the world, to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. As we said at the beginning, one of the most important parts of what it is that we do is that we recognise our state before the Lord, that we lean into his understanding, and we trust him. And a big part of enabling us to do that as humans is that we come before a perfect God, acknowledging that we are not perfect, but that we need his touch, his forgiveness, and his mercy. And so we use the words of the confession today. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew your right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin, restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. It's been reasonably good weather recently. Actually, over the last couple of days, there's been a lot of rain on and off. And that's been great for our gardens and for the grass to begin to grow again. But one of the things in the sun is that whenever we sit down or whenever we're out driving or whenever we're sitting in our back gardens or we're trying to read a book, everything kind of becomes really, really bright. And so we need to put on our sunglasses. And now I look like a really cool and hip and trendy minister. No, you're not supposed to laugh at that point. You're just supposed to say, yes, James, that's correct. Thank you. But sunglasses help to take away the glare around us. And actually, one of the things that we see throughout the pages of the scriptures is that at certain points, angels appear to people. They appear in flashing, blinding lights. They appear in a blaze of glory. And we're going to read in a few moments from Acts chapter 1. And in it, after Jesus is taken up into heaven, we hear that the disciples in verse 10 were looking intently up into the sky where he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Obviously, this was a unique event where people dressed in white blindingly stood beside them. It's as if the disciples needed sunglasses on to enable them to focus again. What was it they had to focus on? Well, actually, these two men that were dressed in white encouraged the disciples to focus on Jesus. Listen to it. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Next time you put your sunglasses on to take away the glare around you, remember to lift up your eyes and to focus on Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is present with you in this moment. We're going to hear that passage from Acts read for us.
Reading today is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the skies? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Here ends the reading.
So this passage in Acts is the beginning of the book of Acts, if you like. It's Acts chapter 1. This passage, this book's written by Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and this is kind of his second edition or second volume, if you like. The Gospel of Luke really talks about the story of who Jesus is and why he came to earth and what he has done for you and for I in dying on a cross. The book of Acts is about what comes after that. It's the birth of the church. And that's what we're going to look at next week, actually, whenever we come to Pentecost Sunday, whenever the church celebrates its birthday. But in this passage, this is really about Jesus ascending into heaven. And now last Thursday was Ascension Day in our church calendar, a day whenever we would read this passage and we would remember that Jesus ascended into heaven. And so really what I want to do today is to take this passage and to briefly read it through in different blocks, if you like, and then begin to see how that fits into our situation for today. See, first one, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, they gave him this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." That's the first five verses. But in that, there is so much. Actually, the preacher could just take those five verses and speak all day on them. See, the first two and three verses speak about that story of who Jesus is. The story of why he came, Son of God, came to seek and to save those that were lost. That's you and I. Those that are separated from him by our sin, by our rebellion, by our walking away from him. He came to seek us out and to save us, to bring us back into his family, to be adopted as his children. That's the beautiful work, the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Now, many world religions claim that their God can bring salvation. But the difference between Christianity and all those other world religions comes in verse 3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. That was the cry we made at the start of this service. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We believe in a God who defeated death. We believe in a God who is alive today. That's amazing and unique to our faith and to our Christian witness. And the fact that the God that we believe in is alive today means that he is present with us today. Not only brings comfort into the current situation that we're in, whenever we feel isolated in our own homes, whenever we feel separated from our families, although step one is happening and lockdown is beginning to shift again, we still feel as if we've been separated from those that we love most or from the familiarity and the normal routine of our daily lives. But God is still present with us because he is alive and well. And that's something that we can truly celebrate today. Not only the fact that he appeared to his disciples, but Jesus has continued to appear to many thousands of people over the centuries. He's appeared to me. He has shown me in my life that in fact he is alive, he is well, and that he wants to walk with me. And maybe he's done that for you too. He primarily does that in this moment through his word and by his Holy Spirit leading us deep into his word so we can understand who he is more. But there's more than that. If you remember back at the beginning of this COVID-19 situation, back at the beginning of this lockdown, I done a little video where I walked out through the front doors of the church and I locked the doors and I walked off down the path and out into the street using the hashtag his hands and his feet. We truly believe that here in Derevolgi, that God has called us to be his hands and his feet, that he could use you and me to speak into other people's situations by our words, by our actions, by being and carrying his presence into our community. See, in verse 6 it says, "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?'" See, in verse 6, there's a point where the disciples still don't always get the whole picture. You see, they always thought that the Messiah who was to come was going to release them from the rule of the Roman Empire, was going to free the nation of Israel to be a world superpower again, if you like. But actually, the Messiah came to set free the individual. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Who the Son sets free, he is free indeed." He came to set you and I free. Now that's something that we can just take a moment to pause and to contemplate and to think about. And even after Jesus has died and rose again, some of the disciples still think he's going to restore the nation of Israel. They still believe that he is going to do what they think he should do, rather than allowing Jesus to do what it is that Jesus does. Look at verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." It's not for us to set the agenda of God. God sets his own agenda. "For he created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. You're fearfully and wonderfully made," it says in Psalm 139. It goes on to say that all the days were ordained for you before one of them came to be. The God that we worship, the God that we believe is alive and well today, the God who we want to be his hands and his feet, this is the God who is sovereign and in control. I've consistently kept saying that through all of this mess. Because in the midst of all of this, whenever we've got uncertainty around us, we're not sure what's happening or what's going on, we know that God is still sovereign and in control. We know that he has got a plan, but it's not up for us to know the times and the dates that the Father has set. We're simply to lean in his understanding and to trust him. And he will direct our paths. But Jesus doesn't leave them hanging there. He doesn't say that actually it's out there, this in this ether, that somehow God has all of this big plan. No, he goes on in verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, I don't want to spend too much on that today because we're going to look at that next week. But that's the day of Pentecost. Whenever the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes upon the church. And the truth is this. Jesus actually says, whenever he was walking the earth, it describes the Spirit as the Parakletos, the one who will draw alongside, more than just a helper or an aid, and more than just a counselor. He draws alongside us and walks with us. He empowers us. He speaks on our behalf. He speaks for us and on our behalf. Amazing, isn't it? And so whenever we begin a journey, like we said last week on the road to Emmaus, whenever we begin a journey and we experience who Jesus is, the scriptures teach us that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. However, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, we need to relinquish and let go of all those parts of our lives that we think we are in control of or that we have authority over. And allow God to be God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because after Jesus says this, it says in verse 9, "He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight." This is the point where Jesus ascended into heaven. What does that mean? Well, it means that the Father has taken him back to his rightful place. Remember, the Son has always been. He's not created. He has always been. And so Jesus took on, God took on a human form, became part of the created order, so that he might die on a cross for you and for me, suffer the way we should suffer. But it's more than that. Then he had to rise from the dead to show that he wasn't just a man, but he was fully God. And now he's gone back to heaven into his rightful place to sit at the right hand of the throne of God, where he will remain until he comes again, because that's what it says at the end of this passage that we read today, doesn't it? Verse 11, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven." We live our lives not in a vacuum. We live our lives in the in-between, in the not yet. We live in the kingdom of God, but not fully in the kingdom of God. We live in the knowledge that the Holy Spirit comes to empower us and to live within us, and that Jesus is going to come back again. And whenever he comes back, he's going to take those who know him and who love him to their rightful place in heaven. That's not what the preacher says. That's what the scriptures teach us. And we need to be prepared for that day. You find a little piece on our website called Peace with God that'll explain how you can do that. But the important stuff for us to remember today is that it's not for us to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for us to set the agenda. It's for us to be willing to relinquish ourselves to enable God to be God. Many of you will know that I'm married to but one wife. And have two beautiful daughters. I live with three women. I appreciate your prayers. The point of this, as it's not being recorded live, they're probably going to be sitting looking at me at this point. But you know, whenever I met Shirley, there's a whole debate or story, I can tell you the right side of it, around who made the first move. It was her. But there's another part to that, which she will openly admit. That within the first few weeks, she knew in her heart that I was the one for her. But I was much slower, she says, in catching on. After a couple of years of going out with Shirley, we had went to see some rings. And in her heart, she believed at that point that it was coming to the point where I was going to ask her to marry her. But again, in my slowness of heart, it took me another 6 months before I came to the point. I actually had to save the money to buy the ring, but it took me another 6 months to get to the point of proposing to her. For her, those times and those dates were slow of coming. But for me, who kind of had a plan in my head, I had a time frame that I knew I needed to work to. It's not for us to set times and dates. It's not for us to believe that God is slow to do what God is doing. But we need to believe in the understanding that God has a plan. And he is not slow as we understand slowness. But God is working out his plan. It actually says in the scriptures that God works for the good of all those who know and who love him. And so today we stand and we trust that the God who has ascended into heaven to take his rightful place will one day return again and put everything in this world right. But we need to trust him, to lean not on our own understanding, but to direct our paths towards him. Like that old chorus, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you that we can trust in you today and that we can hold you close today. So for those moments where we need to trust you more, Lord, we hand them over to you now. Into those moments where maybe we're uncertain about a medical diagnosis or about a report coming from a hospital. We were uncertain about a treatment plan that we thought we were on, but now are uncertain or unsure because of the current situation in the health service. Lord, help us to see that you have a bigger plan and a bigger way. Help us to lean not on our understanding, but on yours. And that, Lord, applies into all aspects of our lives, into our family lives, into our friendship circles, into our community, into our workspaces, into the uncertainty of what employment may be in the future. But Lord, we want to thank you that you are present with us even in these circumstances, and that you have a way, and it's not for us to determine the times or the dates. But Lord, help us, because that's not easy. Empower us by your Spirit. Give us strength and give us patience, we pray. And for those who we know and love, who are key workers, we continue to pray for them. We continue to pray for those who are unwell at home or in hospital. We continue to pray for those who are bereaved. And we continue to pray for our community. And so we pray for our neighbours on our left and on our right. For the streets that we walk in, to do our grocery shopping or take our daily exercise or to travel to work. Empower us to be your hands and your feet, we pray. We pray these things in the precious and beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being a part of our worship today. If you need anything during the week, please do get in contact with us. You can visit our website at derevolgi.com, and all the information is there. Visit our Facebook page to keep up to date. Or you can telephone 0289252 8242 and leave a message, and we'll come back to you. But we finish our service today using the collect of the day. O God, the King of glory, you've exalted your Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph over your kingdom in heaven. Mercifully give us faith to know that as he promised, he abides with us on earth to the end of time, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.